خوف خدا و عشق مصطفی، علم و عمل اصلاح معاشرہ، فقہ شریعت و طریقت کا ہے مجموع مدنی مذاکرہ،
ہے مجموع مدنی مذاکرہ.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله. وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Whenever you get the privilege of entering a masjid, make sure to make the intention of i'tikaf. Intention refers to the intent of the heart, so you may make it in your heart, like I make the intention of i'tikaf. Remember that eating, drinking, sleeping, having suhoor, iftar meal or drinking zamzam water, or the water upon which dam is performed, will only be permissible in case the intention of i'tikaf was made beforehand. If food is served to you and you had not made the intention of i'tikaf, then this intention cannot be made just to eat food now. However, it can be made to gain reward. You may perform some zikr or recite salat upon the Prophet 12 times. Now, there's no harm in eating, sleeping, drinking, or any such activities. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, saying of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, number 6. Jibreel alayhi salam said to me that Allah Almighty states, O Muhammad, are you not pleased upon the fact that your ummati sends one salam upon you, and I send 10 salams upon him? Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Can one visit a graveyard without removing his shoes?
Well, going to a graveyard with your shoes on in such a way that you step upon graves is obviously haram. Two sayings of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Number one, I prefer it more to walk on the flame of fire or sword, or have my foot sewn inside my shoes, as compared to walking on the grave of any Muslim. Number two, it is better for a person to sit on the flame of fire to the extent that it burns his clothes and reaches his skin. This is better for him than sitting on a grave. So this is how severe it is. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
In addition to what you explained about stepping on graves, which is normally observed and seen when people visit graveyards, I would like to draw your attention towards another important, relevant topic, that is to take heed while visiting a graveyard. Please shed some light on this too.
We nowadays visit graveyards just as a formality. That's unfortunate. There's quite a lot of liveliness in graveyards on Ashura as well. It's good, one should go. But alongside this, one should also take heed and admonition, thinking that the way they are lying in their graves today, similarly, we'll be in the same position one day. The heap of soil that we see around us, there'll be an addition of another heap of soil, and that is of mine. And inside that heap of soil, my actions are such that only Allah knows what will be the state inside that heap of soil. What if Allah becomes displeased? So one should take heed in this manner. He should imagine his dead body, and then the rotting and decaying of his dead body, his eyes flowing out, and then think of his teeth falling out, and then his hair falling off. This is what he should ponder upon. How we comb over hair and keep them neat and clean through different haircuts and designs. We keep some hair over here, cut them from here, make different designs, adjust beard like this from here, and we do all sorts of things. All these hair, everything will fall off inside the grave. So one should remember his helplessness of that time in this way. Take heed from broken and cracked graves, as in how many good-looking people would have been disfigured under the soil. One should remember this. The actual purpose of visiting the graveyard was to remember your death. Like you will find this subject being mentioned in hadith that I first used to stop you from visiting graves, but now I allow you to go and visit. Visit graves as visiting graves, i.e. beholding graves, softens the heart and brings tears in the eyes. So a person should remember his death. That should be the main purpose and objective of visiting a graveyard. But that's not the case now. Alas, people even fight in the graveyards. They shout at each other. People nowadays eat, drink, and have a fun time just by the graves. Even to the extent that those who live in the surrounding vicinities or those who dig graves, their hearts at times become really hard. They become hard-hearted. People gamble and play cards by the graves. They drink alcohol over there. Allah knows what else goes on over there. And at times, mafias and gangs also have their bases over there. Things like drug dealing and hiding illegal weapons is also quite prevalent over there. So this shouldn't be the case at all. There are people living nearby and they tie donkeys over there. There are goats graze over there. So may Allah Almighty bless us with a mindset of accepting heed, admonition, a heart that accepts heed.
As you're talking about rural areas, it is also seen that people who have got their houses close to graveyards, if they have any wedding function, loud music is played. All this happens. Even graveyard is in their vicinity.
So much goes on. So much. But no heed. Even though they will be witnessing that from amongst their own family members and loved ones, people pass away. And they would also get buried in the same very graveyard. Despite watching all this, they don't take any heed, thinking that nothing will happen to me. That's the mindset now, that I'm not going to die. Maktabat al-Madina has published a thought-provoking admonitory booklet entitled First Night in the Grave. Do read it. It was a speech which has been published with further necessary amendments and other adjustments that were required. This booklet is full of heed and admonition. By reading this booklet, you will gain a lot of knowledge and gain immense amount of heed, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Qabr mahboob ke jalwon se basa de. Oh,
Someone has sent a text message. It is written, there remains pain in my body. And I do experience this pain quite often. My mother also remains worried and concerned. Please suggest any spiritual cure. And also make dua.
May Allah Almighty cure you from this illness and bless you with health. Normally, there are some causes for body aches. So amongst them, one cause normally found is excessive overeating. Eating too much also results in producing excessive phlegm. And those who have this kind of nature of phlegm, etc., they do suffer body aches in different parts of the body due to phlegm. Observe a cautious diet, and increasing the consumption of fruits and vegetables in one's diet will inshallah be beneficial. You'll see it for yourself, inshallah. These painkiller tablets in the shops, one should avoid them. One should only use them if there's no other option without them. It really harms the stomach and the kidneys, the painkiller tablets. One should try not to use them. If you observe caution and act upon what I suggested, it will be beneficial, Allah willing. Moreover, recite Ya Muhyi 7 times. So recite Ya Muhyi 7 times and perform them upon yourself. Whether you have an issue of gastroid, or you have pain in your stomach or anywhere in the body, or there is a risk of any body part to be amputated, inshallah, reciting this litany will prove to be beneficial. This has to be recited daily, at least once. And make a habit of this litany until you don't get cured. May Allah Almighty bless you with perpetual health. Make dua by traveling in the Madani Qafila. You'll find many Madani parables of this too, that people make dua by traveling in the Madani Qafila, which removes their illnesses. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
We received a text message. Can Durud al-Faj be recited in a melodious voice while being in the state of impurity?
Reciting the Durud al-Faj is although permissible, but at such occasion it's better to be careful. And if impurity refers to ghusl being fard upon him, in this case he should at least rinse his mouth or perform wudu. Now he may recite it with tone or without tone. It is permissible to recite Durud al-Faj, so reciting Salat is permissible. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Someone asked, can Islamic sisters do the eyebrows on weddings day?
No, they can't. There are warnings in a hadith. It's not permissible.
I am calling from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. My question in the court of the Emir al-Sunnah is that while talking, we don't care about lying or speaking the truth. Please bless us with such Madani pearls that we start to hate lying and we never lie again.
Now for this purpose, one should acquire the knowledge regarding the virtues of speaking the truth and the harms, evils and sins of lying. Regarding this, there is a chapter regarding lying in the 16th part of Bahari Shariat. It is on the condemnation of lying. Similarly, in Ihya al-Ulum Volume 3, there is a lot of detail on this regarding lying. So reading these books will inshallah create hatred against lying. Lying is indeed an extremely evil trait. It is a haram action that leads towards the hellfire. A Muslim should refrain from it. We should always speak the truth, as truth has blessings in it. Ummul Mu'mineen Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha has stated, nothing was more detested to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam than lying. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become aware of someone's lie, even though if that lie was a very small one, then he alayhi salatu wa sallam would remove that person, i.e. who lied, from his blessed heart. To the extent that he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came to know that that person had repented. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that when a person lies, due to its foul smell, the angel distances 1 mile away from him for the sake of the truthful and Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Almighty make us truthful as well.
It is even observed today, if it is known about someone that he is a liar, he lies, then People do not trust him. There always remains a doubt that he may be lying. One's heart doesn't get satisfied. People doubt even if he speaks truth. Those who have habit of lying, they lose trust of people. People lie at home a lot. Likewise, people have habit of lying at workplaces. Actually, habit of lying breaks the mirror of trust. Once that mirror of trust is broken, even if you fix that, the cracks do not disappear. Cracks still remain there. And this mistrust creates doubts. So we should always speak truth. And whenever we speak, we must be careful that we do not end up lying. I pray that Allah protect us from the curse of lying.
Ameen, ameen.
If one forgets to do ruku and performs sajda straight after qiyam, what should he do?
Return back and perform ruku and then perform the sajda again and perform sajda itself at the end.
I've got a severe back pain. Can I offer salah while sitting on chair? And can I also offer fard salah while sitting on chair?
Rulings of offering salah on chair. This booklet can be purchased from Maktabatul Madina and also be downloaded from the website of Dawat-e-Islami. After reading those rulings and understanding how much pain there is, determining whether you can perform Qiyam or not, and in case you cannot perform Qiyam, then at least perform Sajda and make sure it is the way we normally perform Sajda during Salah. If that's not possible, then at least express to be in that state through gestures. Or if your condition is so worse that you cannot do so at all, in that case, it's allowed to sit on a chair and offer Salah. Or if the pain increases due to sajda, in this case too, one will be allowed to sit on a chair to offer Salah. Or if the person experiences severe pain, as in sometimes what happens is that if a person bows down, he screams due to pain, and the person is unable to bear the pain. So in such situation, one is allowed to offer Salah on a chair. However, if you read the booklet that I mentioned, then inshallah, we'll gain more knowledge about it. Inshallah. Lest it is a case that we have less pain and start offering Salah on a chair. Now, even in this, let's say you are experiencing pain the way I mentioned, and let's say you offer Zuhr Salah on a chair, and you recovered by the time of Asr, there's not so much pain now, then performing the actual sajda will now be fard. Having been given the permission of chair once doesn't mean that you have this permission for rest of your life, that you can offer Salah on a chair. So we should learn these rulings, and we should keep fearing Allah Almighty in following these rulings, in case we end up wasting our Salah, invalidating our Salah due to ignorance. May Allah Almighty grant you cure for the sake of His beloved.
In order to take heed, can someone take selfie with deceased?
This is something absolutely new. Is it? For heed?
He hasn't mentioned how will it help to take heed.
This is the first time I've heard about this, a selfie with a deceased. They must then share it as well, post it on their social media pages. You've also seen this.
It's possible people do this.
Right. Now in this, you can't issue a Shari'i ruling to forbid it. You can't call it impermissible. If it actually is for heed, that a person will remember his own death by looking at that selfie, then it is good, an act of reward, if that's the intention. But generally, this intention is not found. People normally do so as a memory, with their father or their son, or someone. Wallahu alam, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat.
Do jinnat also die?
Yes, the jinns also die. Even they shouldn't be in any misconception. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Every living being is to taste death, even the angels, even the jinns, and even Malakul Maud will also face death.
Will death also die?
Yes, death will also die.
It is Brother Khurram Thakalain. He's asking a question that on Friday, masajid are filled with people. Many people turn up and there remains no space inside masjid. Then people offer salah outside on roads. What is Islamic ruling in this regard? Please guide us. Jazakallahu khaira.
If the masjid fills up and there is no space left inside the masjid, in this case, it is a norm in our society to form rows outside the masjid. It is permissible.
Is it okay to name a child Hayatullah?
Meaning resurrected by Allah.
Resurrected by Allah. These meanings are fine?
Yes. Actually, another factor which is considered is if it is common amongst Muslims or not. If it's not common amongst Muslims,
Then they make it renowned. Actually, people look for unique names. And this is perhaps an old name. Nowadays, these kind of names are not considered to be unique anymore. They have different type of so-called unique names. Nevertheless, keeping the name Hayatullah is permissible.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa
sallam. If we give zakah to any of our relatives, do we have to tell them that this money is of zakah?
If you give zakah to a person who is deserving of receiving zakah, even if you give it by saying that it is a gift or Eid gift, still the zakah will be paid. It is not necessary to tell them. And at times, telling it is quite disturbing for the receiving person. They might say that, no, I won't take zakah. If the other person is deserving, then just give it to him without mentioning it. Because they're self-respected people who feel embarrassed with the name zakah.
Someone has posted a question on our YouTube channel. He's asking, I work in a bungalow as a servant. Where I have other duties, I also have to look after my owner's dogs as part of my job. My question from Amir of Al-Sunnah is, doing this as part of my job is okay for me or not? Please guide. Jazakallah.
There's no harm in it.
All right.
Now, if someone has kept dogs for his own safety, and there's another person who works as a servant over there, and the owner's dogs are friendly with him, and they also tie them at different places, from here to there, and they would also look after the dogs. So in this case, the way it has been asked in the question, this job is permissible, isn't it?
Here it would be seen if these pet dogs are for protection or not, and need of protection would also be considered. With these conditions, this work is permissible.
My question in the court of Amir al-Sunnah is that if someone, after looking at us, says that you're looking really nice, then what should we say to him? Please guide us on this matter.
When it was said to you, you must would have smiled. If they did, this is the answer.
Definitely, that's how he would react.
Obviously, he would get angry.
Fight that, why do I look good to you? Definitely, one wouldn't do that. But what do you think? Shall one respond by saying, Jazakallah? Or shall he say, at least say, MashaAllah? Shall he not mention effects of evil eye to encourage him to say, MashaAllah?
Now if someone said that you're looking really nice today. Now obviously, we need to keep a positive opinion about our fellow Muslim. Obviously, he said this because he felt so. Otherwise, this is a lie. And if he doesn't feel that the other person is looking good, and he praised him that you're looking good today just to flatter him, then this is a lie, and lying is a sin. But nevertheless, we should keep a positive opinion. One should develop a mindset that only if I become good in the court of Allah Almighty and His Messenger as well. This can also be one answer.
Now do not glance to cause an evil eye. Is there any risk of saying such sentence?
Yes, offense? In this case, the other person can get angry, he can mind it. But this kind of conversation does take place in between friends out of informality. At times they would have different kind of clothes, and at times with different types of haircuts. And seeing them, they would perhaps say, wow. And they would perhaps also say that you resemble such and such actor. This kind of language would be quite common amongst friends. And they would become happy. But this is not resembling with good people, is it? In this case, one should not get happy. But now, people's hearts and minds are stuck in it, so of course people will get happy.
Obviously, he's made efforts to look like someone. If someone compliments by saying that you look like him, then obviously he would be happy, wouldn't he?
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Can we clean the house in the days of Muharram?
Cleaning the house during the days of Muharram? You can absolutely do so, even on the day of Ashura. There's no harm in cleaning the house in the days of Muharram. However, 10th of Muharram has its own memories and virtues. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
My question in the court of Amir of Al-Sunnah is that when Sayyidina Isa would return to this world, how long will he stay in this world for? Kindly bless us with the reply.
He, alayhi salatu wassalam, will stay in this world for 7 years.
People put incense sticks on graves. Is it a sin or not?
They should not be placed on graves. It is not good to light a fire on a grave. And if incense sticks are placed on the side of the grave because people are over there and they're reading or reciting something, and the intention is to spread fragrance, then it is fine. And if they leave after lighting up incense sticks, then this will be deemed as wastage. One will have to refrain from it. And even on the site, make sure there isn't any other grave either. As in, there's some empty space by the side of the grave. And the next grave is a bit further away, so the space in between. If you use that empty space for incense sticks and there's no other grave over there, then you can place incense sticks over there. And in many countries like ours, graves in older graveyards are out of order. Many graves on the sides here and there have become extinct with all their signs wiped away. So in such places, there's no purpose of lighting up incense sticks. And if you say that the purpose is to make fragrance reach people, then in this case, many people are also allergic to incense sticks. It causes them headache. Now, if it is prevalent and not even a single person has a problem with it, then do so at your home or at your business place. People do so for blessings at their business places, not to spread fragrance. At least make the intention that it is to make fragrance reach people.
Now what you've talked about, the concept of incense stick. Now, what is the main purpose of burning incense stick? Is it burned to call someone's spirit? Is it burned for any spiritual reasons? What is the real purpose behind burning incense stick?
Incense sticks are normally lit up in houses on Thursday evenings.
Yes, they are.
There's no purpose behind it. They do so only because it's Thursday and they do so on sacred nights.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. What is the basic purpose of burning incense stick? Main purpose?
Fragrance.
Fragrance, okay.
And that's in case they use the fragrant ones. But I've seen with my own eyes people using incense sticks that have no fragrance whatsoever. The shops normally situated by a shrine. I've seen absolutely plain incense sticks over there without any fragrance. People buy them just as a formality, and the holder is placed over there and they just place it inside there. Allahu Akbar, what fragrance will it give? If you light up the incense stick that has fragrance, only then will it spread fragrance.
As far as my understanding is concerned, it is a religious concept. People have developed a concept that you have to burn incense sticks for religious reasons. Maybe when people go to any mausoleum of any saint, they burn incense sticks there. They've developed a concept, kind of religious concept. There's more concept of burning incense sticks, burning and getting smoke, than to get sweet smell. This perception is there.
It's normally practiced from generation to generation without any understanding of its concept. All they know is that they have to light up an incense stick. That's it. So please keep in mind that lighting up incense sticks in homes, in gatherings, is permissible. But its purpose should be to spread fragrance. We should not consider it to be an action that is necessary to be performed. And if it harms only one person, as in it makes him cough, gives him a headache or any other kind of issue or problem, then it will not be permissible to light it up. He can't ask the other person to leave just because incense stick is more important. If one does so, this will hurt the feelings of the other person.
Well, there are special arrangements which are made to fix these incense sticks right at the door. Or maybe they've got a concept that maybe a spirit would come and these arrangements are to welcome that soul. Yes, this is observed and seen in society.
Reception. I hope the sellers of incense sticks don't get angry with me today. Sustenance is not dependent upon only incense sticks. But who listens to me anyways? In lighting up incense sticks at home, elderly males are not involved. Elderly females are involved. Women normally light up incense sticks at home. Generally speaking, men normally don't have any interference in this. Men normally do so at their work and business places. What they normally think is that lighting up incense sticks will bring blessings. My brother, speaking truth will bring blessings. What do you think, that you can lie to your customers, deceive them day and night, and incense sticks will save you? It won't at all. Allah will save you. Speak the truth, abandon lying, do not deceive people, sympathize with the poor, serve the honorable Sayyids, sell them goods at half price. Spend in the path of Allah. If you don't get blessings, then ask me. Start giving in the path of Allah. You will get so much blessings that will be beyond your imagination. But our mindset is to deceive, steal and rob everything. So where do you think you will get blessings from?
Cloth shops, people burn incense sticks to spread its smell around their stock.
To find blessings.
MashaAllah, a very informative discussion has taken place. I pray that may we all understand that. There are many misunderstandings and misconceptions that exist, and we remain unaware of their reality. And many people, they just follow what they hear. So we should seek knowledge to clear such misunderstandings.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah al-Halim al-Kareem. Subhanallah rabbi al-samawati al-sab'i wa rabbi al-arsh al-azim. Whoever recites this three times, it is as if he found Laylatul Qadr. Let's recite it together. La ilaha illallah. Al-Halim al-Kareem. Subhanallah. رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم صلوا على الحبيب Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiyallahu anhu has stated, whoever recites this dua three times whilst leaving a gathering, his sins are forgiven. And whoever recites it in a righteous gathering and a gathering of zikr, for him, goodness is sealed upon. Let's recite it together. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد خوف خدا عشق مصطفى علم وعمل اصلاح معاشره فقه شريعه طريقتها